listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. Happy to go to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline to welcome our guest at this time, Lance Zierlein from NFL.com, one of their draft gurus. Lance, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Can you hear me, guys? Are you there? Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me, guys?
Yeah, we got you now. What's up, Lance?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing very, very well. Let's start with the trade. Heard around the world yesterday. Your thoughts on the Rams move up to number one with the Tennessee Titans?
Obviously they were worried about the Philadelphia move up to Cleveland, which I think behind in NFL circles, a lot of people thought that was a possibility. Since that was the case, I think the Rams took no chances and said, let's go right to the top and let's go get our guy. Now, I'm assuming it's Carson Wentz. I know there's some Wentz stuff out there. There's some Jared Goff stuff out there. I think it's going to be Carson Wentz. I don't think they moved up for Goff, but we will see. But I think it does shake up the draft board potentially. And the only thing that's going to shake it up more is if the whether Cleveland stays there or trades out of that spot. I mean, Cleveland's a big linchpin in this draft. I mean, depending on what Cleveland does, it can really change the course of a lot of draft picks in the first 10.
And what is it about Carson Wentz that makes you believe that he's a shoo-in for the number one overall pick to the Rams?
I think that most NFL teams believe he has the better upside in terms of how high his ceiling is. I think if you take him, you've got an extended honeymoon because it's basically a brand new team in a brand new city. So if you're the Rams, there's not that same rush to get the quarterback in there because you're in a new city. So you do have, you don't have an angry fan base like you usually do when a team's picking first. You've got, a brand new fan base basically. So I think you have more patience in LA. And I just believe when it comes to size, athleticism, physical traits, I just think Wentz gets a lot of the check marks there. And from everyone I've spoken with, he's been just tremendous behind closed doors with interviews and on the whiteboard in terms of his knowledge of the offensive systems. And, I think there's a true belief that he is the face of a franchise type of player.
Talking with Lance Zierlein from NFL.com, and your most recent mock, you have the Browns taking Miles Jack at number two. I think for the Browns, it's either draft a quarterback. I think if Goff's there, Browns take Goff. If he's not there and it's Wentz that's available, maybe they trade down. I would be surprised they took a defense player, but why Miles Jack there? And does the information coming out about his medical recheck change that pick for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, the medicals are going to be a huge concern, obviously. But then again, with the medicals, you also have to look at, is the reject for right now, or how does it project in August? I think that's where everything's going to really end up. But depending on what the medicals say and what the medical concerns are, and I know there was a concern about a degenerative condition in his background, it could change everything drastically. I mean, that's there's no question. If Miles Jack is healthy as an NFL player, well, he's got tremendous range. He's got tremendous coverage potential and ability. A lot of teams think he could play safety if he wanted to. You've got undeniable aggressiveness and physicality in the middle of the defense. And honestly, he's the type of guy like Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis that's really a game changer, not just from his physicality and explosiveness, but as an alpha leader on a team. He's very much an alpha player. That pick right now is a total guess. I mean, Cleveland is a total guess. If they're willing to draft Goff there, then I can't really believe that they were ever going to potentially trade number two. For me to believe that they were, that they were ever interested in trading the second pick, which I do believe, then I can't believe that they're locked into a single quarterback. So that's why I do believe that pick may have been for sale, and that's why I can't just lock in on a quarterback. I certainly think a quarterback is feasible with the Cleveland Browns, without question. But if I also believe that they were potentially willing to shop that pick, I have to believe that, A, that pick is still available if another team wants it. And but if they sit there, yes, it could be Goff. But, boy, you have the right grade. If you're going to take a quarterback, that stopwatch starts on your job. So you better have the right grade on Goff, and you better not just draft him because he's a quarterback. If you've got him as the 15th best player in the draft, you don't draft him second. That's just the way it is.
Absolutely. Talking with Lance Zierlein. When you heard and you first reported the Browns were willing to trade back out of number two, what do you think they're looking for if they're going to make such a move, and how far would they go down?
Hard to say. I mean, it's really hard to say. I think it would be just completely dependent upon where their board drops from tier one to tier two, and then how far of a drop from tier two to tier three, because that will also, you know, you want to know what kind of player you're going to get, but it really, all of it's going to be predicated on the type of package that you get. And keep this in mind, the further a team has to move up to go get your pick, the sweeter that next year, you know, the sweeter the package is going to be in most cases, because that's a substantial drop backwards. But for what Cleveland needs, and they need a lot, obviously, I don't think it was crazy to think that you could make a deal with a team like, you know, 15 and the Rams, for example, 13. Let's say the Dolphins say, we really, really want Jalen Ramsey. We want to come up and get him at number two. We're worried that San Diego is going to get him. You know, then yeah, I think you can move back to 13. You can get a package of picks, and you can still get a quality player at number 13 if you do your job as evaluators. I think that's what the draft is based on. Teams who move back, if you believe in your evaluators, and we'll see what the Browns can do, but if you believe in your evaluators, then you want the most picks you can get, because if your evaluations are good, you're going to find hits in the second, third, and fourth round. So that's why so many teams are interested in quantity of picks now, and that's why so many teams are allowing free agents to walk, because those comp picks have become very, very valuable, because the league is moving towards a more analytics-driven mindset of quantity of picks will equal, you know, eventually good drafting. You have more trips up to the plate to get a base hit, as opposed to, you know, trading up all the time and limiting the amount of picks you have.
Lance, we're less than 2 weeks out from the draft, and I'm sure things will continually change on a day-to-day basis, but who are some of your risers and fallers, you know, in that first maybe 15 to 20 picks? Who's moving up and who's hot and who's not?
Ryan Kelly's getting getting hot in league circles, a center from Alabama. I think there's a good chance he could go in the first round now. I'm not a big fan of it. I wasn't a fan when Cam Irvin went in the first round. I have him with a lower grade than Ryan Kelly. So, you know, I'm not a huge fan of that, but I do think it's going to happen because he's the best center in the draft. I think he's got a great chance. Eli Apple, and William Jackson, a couple of cornerbacks, along with Artie Burns, I think all of those guys are moving up. Moving back, I think, are the wide receivers. And Laquon Treadwell, I think there's a good chance he gets drafted behind Josh Doctson now. Yep. I don't think Laquon Treadwell is going to be the first wide receiver off the board. I definitely think he's fallen. And then and I think there's it's going to be interesting. And then Cody Whitehair, who at one point was considered a first-round offensive lineman, I think he could end up falling into the second round from Kansas State. And Jerron Reed and Andrew Billings, too. Interior defensive linemen without a lot of pass rush talent, if you can't play on third down, it really hinders your draft stock. And even if teams like them a lot, and I like both those players, you know, you're going to be limited on how many total snaps you play for a team if you're sitting in sub packages all the time. So I think their draft grades, you know, I think their draft value could end up sliding late in the first to out of the first round entirely. So those are some of the risers and fallers, I think, in this year's draft. And Paxton Lynch, I think, actually, you know, made a little move backwards. But once he had his pro day, did some things in his pro day that some teams liked, I think it's going to help him. And if Jared Goff goes inside the top seven picks, that's going to help him even more, because the panic to get one of the top three quarterbacks is going to set in for another team. And I think we could see a team trade into the middle part of the first round to make sure that they land Paxton Lynch.
Talk with Lance Zierlein, NFL media draft analyst at NFL.com. Lance, talk about the wide receivers that could be around for the Browns at number 32 and how you view that position.
Well, honestly, right now, I think you have to have everybody on the board. Fuller, Coleman, Treadwell, you know, that's really tricky from year to year, the way that wide receivers – I've got four wide receivers going right in a row in my latest mock draft, but it doesn't start until 21. So I've got like 21, 22, 23, and 24. And so I do think that, once you really consider that quarterbacks, a center like Ryan Kelly, every time you start talking about those guys moving, cornerbacks being hot, all of a sudden, you're pushing players back, and I think wide receivers are going to be the guys pushed back. Those are the big four: Fuller, Treadwell, Doxson, and Coleman. If one of them slips to the Browns in the second round, you absolutely must consider one of those guys. I mean, it's just too big a hole for Cleveland right now. Sterling Shepard, I like a lot from Oklahoma. I don't know if I love him right there at that spot. But you know what? Sometimes you just say, who cares? Don't get cute. Just go find good football players, and he's a good football player. If you wanted to get a little cute with it, maybe you look at trading back a little bit, or maybe you look at trading up. Maybe the Browns say, you know what? If the Browns are able to move back in the first round, pick up additional picks, that's where you use an additional pick maybe to slide back into the first and go get the wide receiver that you covet, you know, like in the 20s, while at the same time moving back with your first round pick and picking up additional picks. Outside, you know, 32, to me, it's one of those four, potentially Sterling Shepard, but I wouldn't draft Tyler Boyd there. I'd wait on Tyler Boyd. Mike Thomas could be in play depending on how they feel about his, you know, where the grade is on Mike Thomas from Ohio State. And then I'm a fan of Sherrone Peake. Size, speed, I think he's got the ability to become a much better pro wide receiver than he was in college, especially he was healthy this year for the first time in a couple of years, but had to share, you know, share catches and share the ball with a lot of different guys. But when you watch him on tape, man, he's got some big time traits and some big time talent. So I think Sherrone Peake, I've got him as the 51st player in this draft. I do believe that Sherrone Peake could be considered by the Browns because he's got that size and speed there sometime in the second round or third round. Farrell Cooper, Braxton Miller, I think those are, and Tyler Boyd, I think those are all considerations in rounds 2-3, depending on how the Browns maneuver around.
What do you think of a guy that I like? I know he's got some off-field issues, but certainly I love his tape, and I think he's a pretty explosive player, is Leonte Carew out of Rutgers.
Yeah, I'm not as big on Carew, but I understand why some people are. He's got, look, the numbers are fantastic. He's got some great deep ball numbers. And Carew does have some off-the-field concerns, and I think on the heels of Josh Gordon, you know, you're always a little bit worried about taking a guy like that. But I don't think there's anything with Carew that is imminent in terms of that would concern you right now. You just want to know, is this guy a good guy? Is he going to, you know, with more money and time on his hands, is he going to keep himself out of trouble? I don't see Carew in a second. I do see potentially Carew as early as the – personally, I think he's more of a fourth. But, you know, once again, now we're just getting into everyone's personal – you know, personal sure. tastes and personal opinions of guys. And that can vary incredibly widely from team to team. That's one of the things I think a lot of fans make a mistake because they'll look at guys like McShay and Mayock and Kuiper and all these quote-unquote boards, and they begin to believe that that's the norm. That's the league norm. And nothing could be further from the truth. When I've looked at almost 500 players now. I've got my own board at NFL.com. Here's the problem. I'm doing this from – I've got my own personal likes and dislikes about certain traits and certain sure. types of players.
Of course.
So if I were putting – this is my personal board, but I am broadening out to try to hit all 32 teams. So it's tougher. When you have a team like the Cleveland Browns, they're going to say, okay, we like this out of slot receivers. We don't want to go below a 4.52 in wide receiver with speed. We're looking for a guy with this kind of three cone and this kind of height, weight, speed measurements on the outside. And then you start having teams that fine-tune what they look for from position to position. So boards will vary greatly from team to team because all these teams are able to fine-tune what they're looking for, and they may only have 150, 180 team, you know, players even on their board in a draft.
It certainly is an interesting and very thorough process, and, you know, teams, as you said, value players differently. I remember when Bruce Irvin was taken by the Seattle Seahawks and people thought that was nuts and ended up to play pretty well for them in that particular draft class. So Lance, certainly appreciate the time as always, and good follow on Twitter at Lance Zierlein. Now, you do know the offensive line very well, and I know that's one of your specialties. Are there any kind of guys in the mid rounds that you think maybe the Browns could target that could give them some help at right tackle?
This is not a great – it's funny because I had to – it'll come out later today. I look at all my sleepers, boom, bust, all this and that. Honestly, at right tackle, how early do you want to look?
I'd say top four rounds. Top four rounds.
Okay. At 32, I think the guys – I do think Laremy Tunsil, Ronnie Stanley, Jack Conklin, Taylor Decker, those four are for sure off the boards. The next two I think have a good chance of going in a first round are LaRaven Clark from Texas Tech and Jason Spriggs from Indiana. I think either one of those guys and Sean Coleman, the left tackle from Auburn, who's kind of a masher and a physical, aggressive guy with a little bit better pass pro acumen than Greg Robinson when he came out. He's not the talent that Greg Robinson is, but he didn't have the same holes in his pass protection. I think those are guys that could be considered by the Cleveland Browns with that pick in the second round. You go beyond that, and man, it gets really tricky because I think it falls off a lot. Gerald Hawkins at LSU, I wouldn't touch him, even consider him, until the third round at the earliest and maybe the fourth. So you see what we're dealing with here. You've got a list of about seven offensive tackles that I see. And if you don't get one of those seven, in my opinion, if you don't get one of those seven, then all of a sudden it turns into a real coin flipper after that.
That's it. All right, Lance, appreciate the time. Follow him on Twitter at Lance Zuerlein. Check out all of his work at NFL.com. Lance, good stuff. And hopefully we'll talk to you after the draft to get your thoughts on what the Browns ultimately end up doing.
All right, good luck with that draft this year, guys.
Thank you very much. Lance Zuerlein, our guest there. When we come back, we will finish up our mock draft, Matt Wilhelm. That's what we're going to do. Finishing at number 32, the Browns pick in the second round.
Let's go.
Let's do this. Coming up next here on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. I want to remind you guys right now is the time to go to clevelandbrowns.com or the Browns mobile app. Single game ticket packages available for a limited time now through Monday. So if you want to see the Patriots, the Cowboys, any of the division rivals, now is the time to go to clevelandbrowns.com, the Browns mobile app, and get your single game ticket packages. All right, mock draft. We're 24 picks in. These are the final eight, culminating pick 32, the Browns' first pick of the second round. Number 25 on the clock, Matt Wilhelm, you are on the clock.
The Pittsburgh Steelers select William Jackson, the corner out of Houston, who I believe is off your board already as well.
Yeah, William Jackson went 14th to Oakland on mine.
So 25th to Pitt, who needs to revamp that defensive back.
And for me, I'm staying there, and I'm going with Mackenzie Alexander, the cornerback out of Clemson. Dane Brugler's number one corner this year, guy who didn't give up a single touchdown all season. I don't like that pick as a Browns fan, but I think that's a very good pick for Pittsburgh. For Seattle, German Ifedi, offensive lineman, Alabama. That is the place that they have needed more help than any, and they get it there with German.
I'm going to go defensive line, even though they re-signed Ataba Rubin to, I believe, another one-year deal or is it a two-year deal? I'm going to go with Chris Jones, the defensive tackle out of Mississippi State.
Okay. You are on the clock.
I am on the
clock. Green Bay Packers.
The Green Bay Packers are going to do what they should have done a long time ago and draft an inside linebacker so that Clay Matthews can go back to his natural position at outside linebacker. And they're going to go with inside linebacker Reggie Ragland out of Alabama.
So I thought about Ragland there, and I wanted to pull the trigger on him. I didn't. And I went with Hunter Henry, the tight end out of Alabama.
I almost went Hunter Henry.
I just feel like give them another weapon. I think that would be huge there for them. All right, pick number 28, Kansas City on the clock. They're going to go with the best pass rusher, the Holly Houston. Of course, there's some injuries there. Noah Spence, and try to turn him into the next great 3-4 pass rusher for the Kansas City
and
Chiefs.
And see, Noah Spence is off my board, and I took for granted that they have the pass rushers under control. So I went with the middle of the defense, and I went Andrew Billings, the nose tackle out of Baylor, to solidify the inside of that 3-4 defense.
I like that. All right, Carolina. They need a pass rusher.
Oh, this is Arizona.
Oh, Arizona. I'm sorry. You're up. My bad.
Arizona at 29. Arizona's got the weapons. Bruce Arians is a offensive mind. This is where Hunter Henry comes off my board. Gives them another weapon in that offense.
For me, I'm going corner Artie Burns, Miami.
I almost went there, too.
For Arizona. For Carolina, I'm certainly – this one could go a lot of different ways for me, and I don't know exactly where I'm going to go, but I'm going to go with pass rusher Kevin Dodd from Clemson, a guy who's been climbing a lot of boards recently.
Kevin Dodd is off my board already. I'm going to go with a physical freak in Emmanuel – what do you say? Ogba,
yeah.
Out of Oklahoma State.
Sure.
For Carolina.
All right. Pick number 31, Denver Broncos on the clock.
They need a competition for Mark Sanchez. This is where Paxton Lynch comes off my board.
Okay. Paxton Lynch. So he made it all the way through for you.
Yes.
Has Paxton Lynch come off my board?
I don't believe so.
Oh, my. Oh, wow. I got to change my pick then. Yeah, I'm going to go with Paxton Lynch as well. The quarterback out of Memphis for the Denver Broncos. So it comes down to pick 32, the Cleveland Browns. Reggie Ragland is still on my board. Inside linebacker would be a stud.
But doesn't necessarily, I mean, you just paid a free agent at the same position.
Yeah, but this guy I think is a stud. I'm not going to take him. What I'm doing, I'm trading back here.
Okay.
I'm trading back and I'm
hoping. With who? And who do they take?
I'm going to trade back into the mid 40s, somewhere in the 40s.
Okay.
And I'm going to end up taking Sterling Shepard, wide receiver, Oklahoma.
Okay. I'm going to stay in Pat. And I'm going to go with a Buckeye, Michael Thomas, wide receiver. I know you don't like it.
That's okay.
I know you like guys in front of him, but that's what it's going to be.
Michael Thomas. Yeah, Reggie Ragland would be amazing. So I think that that's a guy that would be – I'm surprised that I didn't get him off my board. But I guess he's sliding a little bit some places. Some people have him going as early as 17 to Atlanta. Some people had him going –
a lot of people have –
to Green Bay.
I had him going to Green Bay.
Right.
Henry and Ragland were the two – I think we were in that middle faction, the 9 to, 16 range.
Yep.
And I had already had Ragland and Henry's names kind of like earmarked for Green Bay because they both make so much sense. A, to your point, give him another weapon besides Rodgers, right?
Yep.
And a Richard, what is it? What's his
a
name?
A weapon for Rodgers besides Jordy Nelson.
Yeah,
oh,
correct.
You're talking about Rodney Rodgers?
Yeah, the other tight end there.
Is it Rodney Rodgers?
It's not. Is it Richard?
Richard Rodgers.
Richard Rodgers.
Rodney Rodgers was the basketball player from Wake Forest.
Correct.
It was awesome. It was
or solidify that middle. You know, give them a tackling machine. When Green Bay was at their best, you know, Nick Barnett was holding down the middle. They were able to, you know, add the pass rushers and hold down the middle with draft B.J. Raji, those luxury picks to solidify that 3-4 defense. They need that tackling machine and thumper inside.
They do. So Paxton Lynch ended up for both of us there. I think the Jets could be a target for Paxton Lynch. But really, if he gets past there, Buffalo could be a target for Paxton Lynch. If he gets past there, though, where does he go? It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe to the Browns at 32 if they don't take Jarrod Goff.
Stop it. I don't want to talk about that. So there it is. That's our mock draft here through the first 32 picks. We'll see how it changes in the coming weeks. But I'm sure it's going to change a lot since we already get
but
to
you know what, though?
Los Angeles
here's what
to
we
the
have,
top.
Right. Here's what we have to say. Okay. McShay and Kuiper and, you know, Bucky Brooks and Charles Davis and Zuerlein and, you know, Jeremiah, they all come out with mock drafts. They have an opportunity to change it, you know, how many times?
A billion.
As we lead up to the draft. And when the draft finally arrives, most of them are dead wrong.
Dead wrong. They make
dead
a
wrong.
Mockery.
I mean, Kuiper gets a bad. Kuiper has been doing this for a very long time. That's why he's so respected. McShay has been doing it as of recent to rival Mel Kuiper.
Sure.
But they're professionals, and they're still wrong.
Yes.
And even though you have your ear to the street and you think you're dead set on what a team's going to do, they do something different. That's just why that's the hype centered around the draft.
Absolutely, it is. And teams, as Lance Zuerlein pointed out, teams value certain things in different positions, so draft boards range wildly across
Correct.
The teams.
Correct.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get into the Friday forecast. By the way, where's the kid?
Who is he? He's not
Who
even the
he?
Kid anymore. Where's John?
Where's John? I don't even know. Jonathan.
Wow.
John. I don't know. He says he's got big business meetings
Watch
today.
Watch him walk
so
up
we'll
the stairs.
We'll wish him the best of luck. No, he doesn't even... He doesn't even call in on Friday. I mean, he doesn't give us anything. When's the last time he was on the show?
He called in Monday after the Masters.
Yeah, but I mean, when's the last time he was on the show?
Weeks. Been a long time.
Sad.
We miss you.
Sad to see. I guess it just got to his head. It's like the kid's like, I'm a star.
I've made it.
I've made it. Yeah, he's like, I've arrived, and now I just do whatever I want.
I don't work for them. They work for me.
Yeah, I do what I want. Like Cartman. I do what I want. I club 10 baby seals. I do what I want.
Mo Pedman.
Mo Pedman. Do-do-do-do-do-ch-do-ch-do-do-ch. Friday forecast up next. Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She
listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs. Gibbs, it's time for the Friday forecast.
Number one.
Who really won yesterday's big NFL trade, gentlemen? Tennessee or Los Angeles?
I believe it's the Tennessee Titans. And the reason why, because they have a plentiful number of picks, not only in this year's draft. And I even talked to Zagura, we might have even talked about it yesterday, is they, okay, so they dropped back to 15, but could they basically pair the 15th overall pick and one of their three second-round picks to maybe get up to 10 or 9 or 8 and still go get one of those top premier semi-can't-miss players that are in this year's draft? Yes, they can. And if they don't and stand pat, they're adding two first-round picks in the next 2 years and four second-round picks and, what, three third-round picks in the next, what, 24 months.
Yeah.
So I like that, and I really think from a Tennessee Titans standpoint, they will most likely, if they draft well and hit 60%, they're going to be the cream of the crop in the AFC South.
Yes, they will. I say Tennessee won. They got their franchise quarterback, so all they needed to do was accumulate assets. They've turned Laremy Tunsil into basically five other players that are going to be picked in the first three rounds of the NFL draft. Two firsts, two seconds, two thirds. So I am very impressed with what the Tennessee Titans did. I think they won that trade. I think it can be a win-win, though, if LA goes up and grabs a guy that is their franchise quarterback for the next decade plus.
Number two.
Who's the one player entering the draft with injury questions that you would take a chance on? Number of injury things coming back today, none of them positive. But
I would say, probably just talking to Lance Zierlein, not necessarily for the Cleveland Browns at two, but with the diversity of Miles Jack, and if he's good to go as of August to start training camp, or and just not 100% right now, that gives him the next 3 months to really get back into playing shape and get that knee where exactly where it needs to be. And he's the guy that, again, Lance Zierlein mentioned the names Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis. I played with both those guys, so I know the impact that they can make. And if he puts Miles Jack in that same realm, I think he's that guy.
I'm going with Jalen Smith. I think that he's one of those players you take a shot on if he can come back or not.
How high for you?
Depends. I'm not privy to the medical. If you think that it's a better than 50% chance that he's going to be able to come back and be the player that he was before the injury, then I'd probably take him in the third round, third round.
The one call that we took while you were taking care of business, do you think that like Efo, the swing and miss on Efo with him not progressing as fast, you know, him being a first-round guy and taking him in the seventh, you know, on a flyer, not progressing the way you expected for him to be competitive for the Browns, at all leave Sashi Brown, Andrew Berry, Hugh Jackson with some type of taste in their mouth to just kind of stray from this?
No, that was a seventh-round pick, and I think you take a swing. I think when you look at it, though, the horrific ones lately, Marcus Lattimore comes to mind, Efo, never have gotten anything out of him. So it depends on what your medical evaluation of it is.
Right.
Again, with the percentage of these picks that actually work out isn't that great. So if you believe that your medical staff is telling you the percentage chance that he returns to form is higher than the average expected return on a pick in that particular round, then I take him there.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty easy. I actually like that. It just came to me, and I think it's a good way to look at it.
Number three.
Those are called epiphanies.
It was an epiphany. It was a moment. It was an epiphany. If it's a fourth round pick and we're supposed to get, you know, what, 25, 30%, let's say, a fourth round picks hit, and we think this guy's got a 40% chance of regaining his form, which would have made him a surefire player, I'm taking that chance.
All right.
Moving on to the National Basketball Association. Which NBA first-round low seed has the best chance to pull the upset in their respective series? Meaning, which lower seed has the best chance to knock off the top seed in the first round?
Who are those? Cavs play the Pistons. I would say that's not. And the Warriors play who? The Mavericks?
Warriors play
Houston.
Indiana is against Portland. I mean, Indiana at Toronto. I'll say the second team is the top seed. Indiana at Toronto, Houston at Golden State, Boston at Atlanta, Dallas at Oklahoma City, Detroit at Cleveland, Memphis at San Antonio, Charlotte at Miami, Portland at the Clippers.
I'll say if Paul George plays out of his mind, the Pacers can scare and take the Toronto Raptors as a number two seed like deeper into the playoffs than probably a lot of people would think.
I'm going to say I think it's the Boston Celtics.
That's 4-5 though, right?
Yes.
Eh.
I think it's Boston Celtics. They're a lower seeded team. You want me to pick one?
But I would just say, I'm talking 1-8-2-7.
Oh, no. You could pick any of the underdogs.
Oh, okay.
I don't think 1-8. I don't think any of the 1-8-2-7s. I don't think any of them are losing.
Okay.
Yeah, Memphis is really. I think Memphis could give San Antonio trouble if they
Hold on. No, Mike Conley?
Stop it.
If they weren't dinged up.
No Gasol.
They're 15.5-point underdogs tonight.
Correct. And San Antonio
if
will sweep
fifths,
them.
We'd all be drunk. Vince Conley, one of his favorite quotes.
I hate both of you. Back to that. I do like the Pacers to beat Toronto.
That's a nice thing to say.
Hey, well, welcome to Friday.
It's not allowed in your household, as I recall.
Who?
It's the H word.
Let me ask you this, though.
Great.
Are you guys going to feel a lot of H word towards the Panthers on Saturday?
No.
Yeah, you are.
Not at all.
You got to look at them like you hate them.
No.
You got to feel that way so you can be motivated to go.
That's all between me and Dr. Kurt. The kids aren't going to feel any pressure. They're just going to go out and play.
Has anybody noticed that the initials of defensive coordinator and the initials of Dr. Kurt are the same? Are they? Is it a K Kurt or a C Kurt?
K.
Dang it.
Well, that's not really going to work.
Has anybody ever noticed that the initials of Donkey Kong and Dr. Kurt are the same?
That's not even a good recovery.
That was a quick bounce back.
That was not
good. We call that a bounce back in the business. A rebound.
That was good. Good
AKA
and terrible.
Epiphany.
An epiphany. My epiphany earlier was strong.
Oh, final question, gentlemen. As we start the NBA first round, call your shot, Cavs Pistons series.
It's a sweep so that Biebs can perform his concert.
Yeah, how's that going to go over?
They're going to sweep and then the Biebs.
Or Quicken?
The Q.
Okay. Sweep.
Get out the brooms.
I think it goes five. Detroit gets one. Somewhere.
Which one?
Where? I think it's sweep.
Which game? Three
sweep?
Or four?
I think four.
I think it's sweep.
Out of
sweep.
Boredom?
I think you know, if one of the Cavs is having a bad shooting night, one of the big three.
I don't
is
think
off, if
I don't
off.
If we're up 3-0 and we go to Detroit, if I were LeBron and the leader of that locker room, I wouldn't let anyone slip because I don't want to play one more game than I have to. And I want to enjoy the rest.
Yeah, if everything goes well, you play 16 games.
Because I think exactly. But I think the 4-5 series, which is what, Boston and Miami?
Boston.
And Atlanta.
Boston, Atlanta. Okay, Boston-Atlanta might go the distance. So you're going to get more time.
Yeah, because the first round goes 2 weeks, basically.
That's what I mean. So you sweep. If you're up 3-0, you go to Detroit with your mindset to go get a rest and have some free time.
Absolutely. To chill. Adam Schwartz telling you know the Panthers have released their scouting report on the Giants, and they hate the Giants.
I love the Panthers. Cam Newton's my favorite player in the league.
Channel the hate.
Cam Newton is not playing on Saturday.
If he was playing, you'd be in trouble.
You'd lose.
You would lose. You'd be in a foul mood.
I'd put the mace dog on him. Follow him like a hawk.
All right.
What is going to happen if you lose?
Nothing.
They're going to go back to being normal, ordinary people.
Honestly, this is the thing. It's more – the hype is with me. The hype is not with the kids. You know, the kids don't feel animosity. They felt a little animosity a couple weeks back when, you know, some of the other players weren't essentially going for their flags and were pulling them down by their shirts and kind of that got – because, you know, kids were getting hurt. And they know and they feel that. They don't know how good the Panthers are until we get in the middle of the game and they're going to like, whoa, if we know we get down a score early or they're making some big plays. But the competitive nature comes out in them, which is what I love.
Do you have some kids that you can tell have that like eye of the tiger?
Yes. I have some kids that just kind of like all the, like when I get like the rah-rah stuff, they're just like, line me up and throw me the bomb.
Would you say they love winning more than they hate losing?
They don't know that yet.
How would you have described yourself as a competitor?
As a kid?
Yeah.
I loved winning more than I hated losing.
Me too. Because I think when you hate, and I hate losing.
As do I.
But I focus on the winning. I think people that focus on like their fear of losing, it sometimes can be, end up negatively impacting your performance.
See, I think it just as a player, I was always, we're going to win the game. I was just so optimistic about me and our preparation and the team that we were, that we're going to go out and win, that I never really focused on, oh, the fact that we could lose.
Right.
You know, now as a coach, it's just because the kids feel as if they're going to go out and win, I don't want to have to feel the disappointment of the loss. You know,
the sting.
So that enters my mind as a coach. But, you know, if I do my job and we do what we're supposed to do, you know, go out and have fun and be competitive, pull some flags, good things happen.
Good things happen. Let's go G-men. All right, when we come back, wrapping it up here on this edition of Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKN.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm, Jason Gibbs wrapping up this week. We got the schedule released. The Rams have traded up to the number one pick in the draft. A lot happened here. Busy week. Busy week. Dude, want to send our best to the kid. He apparently has big business deals going down today.
Business.
Business. Business to business.
Close the deal.
A, B, C, Wilhelm.
Always be closing.
Always be closing.
Coffee is for winners.
If you're going to say something like that, send it as a Bitmoji.
What is that?
No.
What does that even mean, coffee is for winners?
Do you not know where ABC comes from?
Always be closing.
Do you know what movie it's from?
Hmm.
You need to look up Glengarry Glen Ross.
That's what it's from?
Yes.
You need to watch
and it
The
is
Wolf of Wall Street. There's plenty of lines in that movie.
It is one of the greatest scenes ever.
And he says coffee is for winners?
Yes.
What's it called?
He goes, always be closing. Someone gets up, he goes, where the blank are you going to get coffee? Coffee's for winners. You're a loser. Sit down.
What movie?
Wow.
Glengarry Glen Ross. It's fantastic.
Do you know what victory smells like in the morning?
Napalm.
That's right. Love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
What is it?
Robert Duvall, Apocalypse Now.
Oh.
Fine film.
Guess was going to be Full Metal Jacket.
One of my all-time favorites.
I don't think I've ever seen Apocalypse Now.
Oh, my God.
I know it's a great movie. I've just never seen it.
All right, so I would go home from college and hang out.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, telling me, like, if I were you, I would go home, I'd go hit.
You should see it. It's an app. It's like a class.
Right. It's kind of like, what's the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, whoever that I didn't see, or Sylvester Stallone?
No, it's not like either
Running
of those
Man
movies.
Or this whatever like, the hell it is.
This is like Best Picture type stuff.
No, I know, no. I know this. I've heard this before.
Okay. So.
Kind of like Dazed and Confused.
Much better. Different, completely.
But
different.
I meant like an all-time great.
Basic Views is a Goonies. Classic. Different, though. This is like one of the great cinematic masterpieces.
I know. Like The Godfather.
Yes.
Yes.
Much better
I get it.
Comparison.
I know. I'm just teasing
So
you.
I used to go home in college
I'm not really, I just
and
don't want you to tell the story. That's
at
what
my
I
boy's
to
house,
do.
Big Lou.
Yeah.
Big Lou is his dad.
With Jacuzzi Ricky?
No. Jacuzzi, this is when
he's
I was
not
in
the picture
this
yet?
This is California. This is Big Lou. No,
Jacuzzi Ricky's not in the he's not in the jacuzzi yet.
He's in Ohio. He probably is in the jacuzzi. And Big Lou was like a Vietnam vet, and then like we would go over there and like we could get like banged up and hang with Big Lou.
What does that mean?
And then we would watch Apocalypse Now, and it would get
over and over and over again.
It would get crazy. Big Lou would get crazy when he watched it.
Crunk.
He'd get crazy.
Crunk with Apocalypse
intense.
Now.
Yes, it was intense.
I gotta watch it.
It's very.
Is
good.
It a 70s, 80s movie?
Yeah, probably 70s.
Okay.
80s.
Probably. Who's in it? Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall, Martin Sheen, Marlon Brando.
I know those guys.
Larry Fishburne, as Larry Fishburne. That's his name in it. It's his first movie. It's a lot of people. Apocalypse Now.
I'll go to the library and get it.
Phenomenal. All right. Hey, we got Dave in Port Clinton real quick wrapping it up. What's up, Dave?
Hey guys.
What's up,
man?
Bro?
Hey. Gibbsy, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Gibbs.
Gibbsy wants you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, question my fellow Falcon brother.
Yes.
I got a couple questions. I'm going to go to the most important one first. Are you the former lead singer of the Crash Test Dummies?
No.
Be sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
You sound just like him. Thank it up, Nathan. Get some going.
There we go.
Okay, second question. You think the BG quarterback's going to get drafted?
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. will the BG quarterback be drafted? Matt Johnson.
Matt Johnson, I think he's going to be a priority free agent or seventh-round pick. I like him, though. I like him. I'd give him a look. Priority free agent, bring him in, let him compete. Let him do that. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks, everybody, for the calls. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Lance Zierlein for bringing the energy and the draft knowledge. Thanks, of course, to Jason Gibbs. Best of luck to Matt Wilhelm and the Giants this weekend.
Go Giants!
Go Giants! I am Nathan Zagura saying, who's up next, Gibbs? Ah, they're back. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily. Don't say it. I already said it one time.
I know you did.
ESPN 850. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.